and glared at Luke. Well, we can't both stay here, if that was your big grand plan, and I'm not leaving, which means you can see your way out. After dinner, he said, as if she hadn't just kicked him out. Do you want to eat at the table or the counter? He asked. Cut the crap, Luke, she said indignantly. Whatever his game was, she wasn't about to play. What are you up to? Chapter 6. Luke was up to nothing good, that was for sure, he thought, looking at the storm brewing in Kennedy's blue eyes while she glared at him from across the kitchen counter. Unafraid of the weighted silence, Luke took the time to study his hostile houseguest, trying to get a handle on what had inspired Kennedy to buy a pie shop on the other side of the country. If he could figure that out, then maybe he could pinpoint what she needed to feel comfortable saying yes to his offer. If he had learned anything about Kennedy Sinclair, it was that she couldn't be persuaded by money, wasn't afraid of his aunt, and knew how to swing when she got cornered. Three things that meant he'd have to be extra diligent about staying focused. Focus that evaporated the second she crossed her arms and sent him a look that was irritated, tired, and sexy as hell. Her blonde hair was spilling out of its clip, her eyes were dilated to bedroom, and she had a smudge of flour on her right cheek. She was still wearing that dress, although the practical shoes and prim sweater were MIA. Tonight, her feet were naked and her shoulders impossibly bare. But what had his mind scrambled was what she had on beneath, or what she didn't have on. One of the straps had slipped down her shoulder, showing off more cleavage than lace, and leaving Luke 99% certain that she wasn't wearing a bra. As for the panties, he could only hope she was into coordinating, because commando would suit her well right then.
Cooking dinner. Glad I made enough for guests.
He leaned against the counter and waited for his words to settle. Her eyes went wide and fuming mad. God, she was hot when she was riled. It was the only reason he could come up with for what he said next.
I wasn't expecting a roomie.
It's a one-bedroom, Luke. There is no room for a roomie.
I know. When I used to stay here with my dad, I always got stuck on the sofa. So, sleeping in the bed should be a nice change.
Nice change? What the hell was he saying? He hadn't planned on moving in. He'd come here to figure her out, throw her off balance, and find a weakness. But one look at her in her dress, and too much skin to be strapped in, and his brain had been scrambled. Then she'd seen right through his BS and called him on it, and damn if that didn't turn him on and turn him stupid. The whole point of buying the house across town was so he'd never have to spend another night here, surrounded by all the memories of that last harvest he'd spent with his dad. Never have to smell chili cooking on the stove, the scent of apples on his hands, or the regret in the air. Angry frustration rose up inside him at the situation, and he felt the walls start to close in, guilt tightening around his neck. I'm not sleeping on the couch, she said, steel determination in her voice. And there it was, his cue to leave. He didn't want to be there. She sure as hell didn't want him there. It was clear by the tug he felt toward Kennedy, he had no business staying, but he couldn't find the strength to leave.
What kind of man would I be to make you sleep on the couch? He said. I don't mind sharing, but I gotta warn you, wine makes me a cuddler, so I'd cut me off after two glasses.
She paused, as if trying to figure out if he was being serious or screwing with her. The correct answer would be both. There will be no sharing of the wine or the bed, and I am not your sweetness, your roomie, or your answering service. She plucked his glass from his hand and emptied the contents into hers. When it wouldn't all fit, she tipped it back to down the remainder, handing him back an empty glass.
Is that a no to the cuddling?
I'm also not some naive woman you can charm out of her panties or her home, or apples, FYI. So whatever game you're playing, whatever plan you've come up with, like I told you the other night, I'm not interested, she said with a tired sadness that made a direct hit to Luke's chest.
After today, I figured you'd want to revisit the offer.
After today, I just want to soak in a hot bath with a glass of wine and celebrate having tomorrow off. And the fact that I happen to love pumpkin more than apples, so other people must too. Luke scratched his hand.
You brought home a pumpkin tart?
What's wrong with a pumpkin tart? She demanded.
Nothing,
he said brightly, thinking that he'd prefer an apple pie.
And since dinner's not quite ready, you have plenty of time to have a glass and a little soak. But leave the door unlocked, and I'll come get you when it's ready.
So you can see me in nothing but bubbles, maybe accidentally fall in the tub, and whoops, tomorrow's walk of shame will be too awkward for me to stay, and you win.
Whoa,
Luke said quietly, because he had a feeling she had been played. Whatever she'd been through had burned so bad, the scars would never fully heal.
I was really just offering you dinner, a chance for us to talk, revisit things, and get to know each other better.
I know enough, Luke, she said, and Luke experienced an unfamiliar prick in his chest. I know how guys like you work, how you see the situation panning out, and I am telling you, I am not interested in anything you have to offer. I'd rather take my chances and work it out alone. And in that moment, he knew he was fucked. Beneath the frustration and sexual heat that sizzled between them, every time they were in fighting distance, was a woman with a big heart, a beautiful smile, and the saddest fucking eyes he'd ever seen. Kennedy wasn't trying to be mean. She was just calling it how she saw it. She chose to go it alone because she'd learned it was less painful. It made him wonder what kind of assholes she'd been exposed to, and how he'd ended up being lumped in the same barrel. A position he liked about as much as losing those apples. I'm tired and sore from a long day, she said. The last thing I want right now is dinner. The with you was implied. Luke knew that she probably hadn't eaten all day, just like he knew that Kennedy's day was more than long. With his aunt on the warpath, it was a painful experience in perseverance. Fee Callahan loved fiercely, lived loudly, and was the town's biggest know-it-all. She was always right, never in doubt, and made Gandhi look soft when it came to fighting for what she believed in. And she believed in God, family, the Seattle Seahawks, and Destiny Bay apples. Not always in that order.
You just don't think you're hungry because you've been smelling food all day, Luke said, pulling two bowls out of the cupboard. Which is why I went with savory. Smelling sugar and cinnamon all day used to get to my mom, too. She said good bakers taste every step of the way, so the apple festival in harvest time always made for a lot of salads in my house. And after a long day in the orchard, a salad wouldn't cut it for me and my dad.
Kennedy paused to look at him, as if trying to figure out why he was sharing this with her, if this was all a part of his game. Good luck, she thought, because he was as confused as she. Luke never talked about his dad, to anyone. Sure, he listened when his mom or people in town brought him up, reminisced about what a great guy he was. But Luke never did much more than listen and give the expected smile or solemn nod. Anything else felt like a lie. He'd made it clear when he left for college after that last harvest that he was moving on to bigger and better. Oh, he found his bigger, working as some starched corporate developer for one of the top tech firms in the state. Had the fancy car, cush corner office, and downtown loft to prove it. As for the better, his world always came up lacking. Karma, he guessed, for walking away from his family when they'd needed him, and being laser-focused on the wrong things, which made seeing what was in front of him impossible. So your mom cooked you guys this chili? She asked, and Luke looked up to find that Kennedy had taken a seat at the counter. The exact place he'd wanted her a moment ago. Only now, he just wanted air.
Nah,
he said, checking the loaf of sourdough he'd popped in the oven.
Mom was too tired when she came home to cook, so my dad started making dinners. Came up with a bunch of recipes my mom loved, but this chili was her favorite.
Luke remembered how his dad would smile while tinkering with the spices to get it just right. Luke knew he was the kind of bone-tired that only picking apples for 12 hours could bring on, because Luke had been too. But the second his dad got behind the stove, started thinking about his wife coming home to dinner on the table, it was as if he got a second wind. No matter how much she'd bake that day, she could never pass up a bowl.
That's really sweet, Kennedy said, a wistfulness in her voice. He sounds like a good guy.
He was the best.
Luke cleared his throat and wondered what his dad would think of him now, of how he was strategizing and sweet-talking a woman right out of her home. Then he thought about what his dad would think if he lost his mom's house for a second time. Fuck. Luke didn't do the bad guy. He'd been raised better than that. Problem was, he also didn't do disappointment, not when it came to his family, which left him up the creek with cute shop girls swinging the paddle. On the bright side, it wasn't like he was robbing her of her home. The woman had lived in Destiny Bay for all of 2 weeks. How settled could she possibly be? Not as settled as the pretty nest egg he'd give her to build a home anywhere she wanted. Kennedy would get her shop, his mom would get her home, and his dad would get his dying wish. Luke would get the luxury of breathing without the weight of his dad's death pressing down. It was a win-win. Fucking win for all involved. He just needed to show Kennedy that. Channeling his Callahan charm, he lifted the lid of the bakery box and smiled. Inside was a perfect tart with a flaky top, dusted with sugar and worthy of Sweetie Pie's name.
It was sweet to my mom, but I am interested in the sweetness of this tart, which no doubt needed a lot of tastings. So, I imagine the last thing you want is to stand in front of another stove and make dinner.
She looked at her creation and blinked. Opening her mouth to say something, she glanced up at him and closed it, as if so thrown by his comment she didn't know how to respond. So the chili? This whole setup was just a welcome to the neighborhood gesture?
What can I say? I'm a nice guy.
When she rolled her eyes, he added,
ask my mom. She'll vouch for me.
A line that always had women smiling. Kennedy didn't smile. In fact, she yawned, an irritating, I am unimpressed yawn that had his ego taking cover. Telling someone you like that they're wrong isn't the way to start a lasting friendship. He touched the tip of her nose.
I knew you liked me.
I was talking about your mother.
Oh, you like me, sweetness.
To prove it, he rested his hand flush on the counter, crowding her body with his and leaning in until there was nowhere to run, nowhere to hide from the obvious chemistry. He waited, silently watching as she swallowed hard, tried to school her reaction to him. When he was close enough to smell the baked sugar on her skin, he whispered,
you just don't like that you like me.
A feeling Luke knew all too well. There were a dozen women at the bar who wouldn't bat an eyelash at the thought of going home with him. But he wasn't up for the fast and loose lifestyle anymore. Nope. Luke wanted the only woman in town who drove him batshit crazy. Kennedy snorted.
Does that really work with women? Always.
And it was working now. The pulse in her neck picked up. Her eyes dilated with desire, and he found himself thinking that 3 weeks was a hell of a long time to keep his hands to himself. Especially if every time they were around each other, all he could think about was kissing her quiet, or using that temper of hers in a more productive environment. As if reading his mind, Kennedy shifted in her stool.
Interesting.
She was as uncomfortable with the sexual heat that sizzled between them as he was.
Okay, maybe I did have another reason for coming. Maybe I came to sample your tarts.
He let his eyes slowly glide down her neck and lower, and damn, he was good. From this angle, he had a perfect view, and it was a wide expanse of nothing but silky, smooth skin. Kennedy followed his gaze, then smacked his chest, shoving him back. She grabbed her wine and went to stand, but he captured her hand, halting her.
Seriously,
The word around town is they are pretty amazing. Made from vegetables, which would mean that he'd have to take some allergy meds after, but at this point, he wasn't ruling it out. Amazing is a pretty charming word, she said with a knowing smile. There's one in that box. Help yourself. You can take it with you. To go. She headed toward the hallway with the entire bottle of wine, so she didn't see him cringe. Then she paused at the threshold. Or you can just call Hawk, the really hot guy who owns the penalty box. He came in after closing and cleared me out of the rest of my stock. Luke frowned.
He bought your tarts?
Sampled my pies, too. Her smile grew to release two adorable dimples in a move that she totally stole. From him. Didn't beat around the bush either. Just came out and told me what he wanted. Luke swallowed.
And what was that?
That's between me and Hawk, she said sweetly, with a wink that drove him crazy. Have a good night, Luke, and be sure to lock up when you leave. When Kennedy's alarm went off the next morning, she had a hard time finding it. Partly because she was hungover from her pity party for one, but mostly because it was O Dark Hundred on her day off. Her first day off since she'd arrived in town. Cracking open one eye, she finally located her phone. On the floor next to an empty wine bottle, her dress, and a half-eaten tart. Then hit it four times before she realized that it wasn't her alarm at all. The annoying beeping was coming from outside her window.
Make it stop, she groaned,
pushing a pillow over her face in hopes of snuffing out the awful noise. When that didn't work, she flung the pillow at the window, her days as a high school pitcher coming in handy as it nailed the glass pane. And sure, it grazed the ceiling fan, took out the bedside lamp, and took down the blinds, but the beeping stopped. And for one incredibly beautiful moment, there was nothing but silence. And the world seemed perfect. Beep, beep, beep. Kennedy's eyes flew open, and in one fluid motion, she tore off the covers, shoved her feet in her slippers, and was marching out the front door. Images of Fee circling the house with Lola flashed through her head as she raced down the hall, past the unslept-in sofa bed, snagging a sweater off the coat rack, and out the front door. By the time Kennedy reached the edge of the porch, pulling her sweater tightly around her to shield against the early morning frost, the beeping had stopped. Too bad the pounding in her head hadn't. The sun was peeking over the mountains, shining off the bright red and green fruit that hung from the thousands of trees. Beneath each tree, in the closest row, sat a few dozen white ladders with empty wicker bushels, just waiting to be filled. And 10 feet from her bedroom window, going a steady 2 miles per hour up and down the rows of trees, was a giant green tractor. And at its helm, dressed in denim and red flannel, with a faded ball cap pulled low, was Luke, looking like a sexy rancher for hire. Kennedy looked at her phone and wanted to cry. It was 6:08, on her only day off. "Surely there's some kind of noise ordinance you're violating?" she hollered over the roar of the engine. Luke turned to look over his shoulder and, one hand on the steering wheel, the other, cupped to his ear, hollered back,
"Hang on, can't hear you."
To prove it, he revved the engine a few times, then headed her way, in reverse, with the backup beeper blaring, as if announcing the second coming. The tractor reached the edge of her porch and sputtered to a stop. He shut down the tractor and smiled down at her.
"What was that, sweetness?"
Even on the porch, she still had to crane her neck to look up at him. "Aren't you afraid you'll wake the neighborhood this early?" He looked around, his body language all innocence and concern.
"You're up. I'm up. No one else around for miles."
He took in her bedhead, her puffy eyes, and grinned. Not that she could see his face. The sun was behind him, casting a long shadow, but she knew he was grinning at her. She could feel it.
"I'm sorry, didn't I mention that today starts the harvest?"
And it's tradition to kick off every harvest with a crack of dawn tractor pull around my house? She guessed.
Nah, just this year. Thought I'd try something new. Give you all the bells and whistles that come with living in the country.
He stroked the hood of the tractor with reverence.
Impressive, huh? They call her the Porsche of tractors.
I dated a guy who drove a Porsche once, she said. He was quick off the line, but a little too compact for my taste.
Well, no need for worry here. I give you my word that Callahan Orchards is in possession of the biggest tractor in the county. Big, range tough, and overflowing with power. Always up for the task, and gets the job done.
He winked.
Want to take it for a spin?
I'll pass.
When you change your mind, let me know.
She noticed he said when, not if. In one fluid motion, Luke hopped off the tractor and onto the grass. All those muscles moved with a power and confidence that said he could handle anything that came his way. She also got the impression that he was the kind of man who came through on his word. Actually, I am glad you're here. I'm nearly out of apples at the shop and need to schedule a delivery from my orchards, Kennedy said, proud at how professional she sounded. Luke studied her, all of her, for a long, intense moment, then flipped his cap around in a move that was all male confidence and grinned.
I don't do business deals before I've had my morning cup of coffee.
I would ask if you prefer cream or sugar, but that would imply I'm willing to make you coffee and invite you in.
For the record, I'll always take sugar if a lady offers. And while I'd love to see you skirting around the kitchen in nothing but my old shirt and lace, I already made a pot. It's on the counter, next to the stove.
Kennedy didn't know if it was seeing him in his element, with dirt under his nails and yesterday's scruff, or maybe she was still a little drunk, but the idea of sharing a morning coffee with Luke made her thighs quiver.
Or we can talk right here, he said. Your call. Although I'm sure the crew is hoping for front porch negotiations.
He looked over his shoulder.
They should be here in about 3 minutes. All 50 of them are scheduled to show up on the South Orchard. Who knows? One look at you and nothing but bedhead, sheet prints, and that old shirt, and I bet a good dozen of them will offer up their services for free.
Kennedy looked down and, oh my God, you waited to tell me this until now? Her hands tugged at the bottom of what appeared to be an oversized University of Washington tee that she'd pulled from the hall closet last night. The cotton hung long enough to cover all the important parts up front, but she tugged down the back just to be safe.
Yeah, that isn't much better.
His gaze drifted toward her apples, which were embarrassingly ripe, and there went that smile.
But it sure puts the good in my morning. Apparently, in yours too.
It's cold, she lied, feeling ridiculously charmed. And you're just trying to get to me by making me believe you slept over last night, when we both know that you didn't stay the night. I heard you lock up when you left.
I left to go get some clothes, but then I came back.
He took one step, then another, stopping when they were toe to toe, and he let his heated brown eyes travel from her face to her mouth, down her chest, where it hung for a long, intense moment.
Kennedy's mouth? Well, that went dry, the exact opposite of what was happening down south.
The look on his face did her in. It was intense, hot, and sheer male appreciation. A look she hadn't been on the receiving end of in far too long.
Just in time to see your little striptease.
Kennedy poked him in the chest, noticing how firm and sculpted it was. You are so full of it.
That shirt and your yellow panties say differently,
he said, his lips giving a small curl at the corners.
Didn't take you for a cuddler or a sheet stealer. Gotta say, you're full of surprises, sweetness.
I'm not a sheet stealer, which was the same thing she'd told Philip when he'd accused her of being a blanket burglar. And I am not wearing yellow underwear.
You sure about that?
Yes, she said, hating how hard it was to breathe, how one wicked look could derail her entirely. Carefully, she glanced down the neckline of her shirt to see if, shit, yellow panties. She looked back up to find Luke rocking victoriously back on his heels because he'd been checking too. She shot him her most intimidating glare, only he didn't look intimidated. He looked pleased with himself.
Admit it. You only knew that because I forgot to put on pants, and you must have seen my reflection in the window.
Feeling exposed and strangely turned on, Kennedy poked his chest again. Only this time, he didn't move back. He moved forward, coming so close he didn't bother to stop until he was all in her space, and she could smell the fragrant scent of apples on his clothes, feel the heat of his body seep through the cotton of her shirt. She felt herself drawing closer, falling into his vortex of sexy, which made her feel sexy and feminine and desired. He was already a little sweaty from putting in some heavy lifting before the sun was even up. Yep, Luke Callahan was big, badass, and so mouth-wateringly male she felt her cheeks heat. Both sets.
Wouldn't you like to know?
His breath brushed her lips, and she almost moaned yes. That she did want to know. She wanted to know if he really slept in her bed, and if there was a pot of coffee waiting for her by the stove. And even though she knew it was wrong, she desperately wanted to know what it would feel like to kiss him. To finally kiss a man who knew what he wanted and took without apology.
There is nothing I want to do more than take you up on that offer,
he said quietly, his eyes on her mouth.
But a gentleman never kisses on the first date.
Date? She said through the sexual haze. We haven't had a date.
Not yet.
His lips curled up into a grin.
Although I did cook you chili.
Which I didn't eat.
Next time, he whispered.
There won't be a next time.
Sure there will. And it will end with a kiss that I would put good money on will be instigated by you.
He grinned.
Yeah, that's how it will go down. Because even though you would rather die than admit it, I get to you. I get to you bad.
The only thing I get from you is acute irritation. Luke glanced down at her fingers, which were desperately gripping the loops of his jeans and tugging him closer. Even worse, his hands were nowhere near her, but shoved behind his back like a damn gentleman.
You sure about that, sweetness?
Chapter 7. The next afternoon, Kennedy looked out the pass-through window into the front of the shop and felt equal parts excitement and panic bubble up. The excitement came from the steady cluster of customers, all smiles and all waiting for their turn to sample one of Kennedy's 5 newest creations, she was sure. She'd spent a good part of yesterday waiting for her apples to arrive, even broke down and texted Luke as to where her apples were. His response was to tell her they could talk about it over dinner, or perhaps during pillow talk. Kennedy did what any professional businesswoman would do when their apples were being held hostage by a walking fantasy in his big green tractor. She ordered takeout and slept at the bakery. It gave her plenty of time to dream up and execute her new apple-less additions to the menu. A smart move on her part, since the apples were a no-show and she was quickly running out. Only now, it was nearing lunchtime and she was ready for a nap. The 12-hour uninterrupted kind. But every time she considered closing her eyes, all she could see was Luke in her bed. And that was where some of the panic set in. She'd spent last night trying not to think about Luke in her bed, and this morning, trying not to think about him naked in her bed. Now that Paula and Lauren had showed up to help with the customers, giving Kennedy a little reprieve, she blamed the strange fascination on the sleep deprivation and grabbed a slice of pie. Thanks for helping me, Kennedy said to Allie as she pushed back through the swinging doors after delivering yet another tray of deep dish humdingers to the front of the shop.
You had me at free pie,
Allie said, taking her third piece of autumn berry pie that morning. Without bothering to use a plate or utensil, she bit off a piece like it was pizza, then groaned with contentment.
But I would have done it for the sheer fact that helping you will piss off Hawk.
Kennedy didn't like that she'd already made enemies in town, especially with two other businessmen whom people seemed to respect. But the thought of having someone in her corner felt really nice, even if it was a connection based on a mutual dislike. So when Allie had knocked on the back door about an hour ago, in desperate need of coffee after pulling an all-nighter herself, Kennedy invited her in for a late breakfast, and maybe even a little girl talk.
Well, thanks. I couldn't have restocked the shop this fast without you.
Kennedy looked at the stacking racks, beautifully stocked with an array of autumn delights, then to the cooling shelves to the far left, which were nearly empty. They'd moved a lot of product already that morning, mostly apple pies, but some of her newer items as well, and there was still a steady flow of customers who might be adventurous enough to try her fig cobblers. Needing 2 minutes off her feet, and with a warm and delicious-smelling mini pecan pie, Kennedy took her well-deserved break and leaned against the counter.
So, the talk about you and Luke isn't true?
Allie asked.
Kennedy choked on a pecan.
There is talk? About me and Luke?
This is Destiny Bay. Looking too long at someone who happens to be single is talk-worthy. Having a man's truck parked outside your house?
Allie laughed.
I'm surprised his mom hasn't placed an announcement in the Acorn.
Shh, Kennedy hissed, checking the pass-through to make sure Paula hadn't heard. Thankfully, Paula was working the cash register and the crowd with equal aplomb. Fee was a no-show, claiming she would never serve customers second-rate produce. Wait. Kennedy spun around to face her new friend. Luke stayed at the cottage again last night? Allie paused, then grabbed a mini pie of her own and hopped up on the counter, her feet swinging.
Again, huh? So he has been at your place all week.
Kennedy closed the swinging shutters, shielding them from the front of the shop and prying eyes. 2 nights doesn't make it all week.
It does when today is Tuesday. Monday, Tuesday.
Allie ticked the days off on her fingers.
Sounds like all week to me.
The first night he broke in and made me dinner.
God, what a jerky thing to do.
Allie laughed. It was, Kennedy defended, knowing how ridiculous that sounded. He did it to play with me, remind me that I was in his house, his town, and he was just waiting for me to fail so he could swoop in and gobble up my apples.
Gobble?
Allie took a bite and licked her fingers.
Well, thank God it was all part of his plan to get his hands on your apples. Most women in this town would have taken Luke Callahan making them dinner as a proposal.
Kennedy rolled her eyes. I'm not most women, so I told him to leave, and he did, although he claims to have come back.
You sure about that, sweetness?
Kennedy had convinced herself that he'd said it just to get to her, only now she wasn't so sure. What if he had slept there, in her bed, and watched her strip, only to fall right to sleep, like a gentleman? This was worse than she thought. She had no intentions of encouraging Luke, because she was done with men. But he could have at least made a move and given her the chance to shoot him down. Gentleman her ass. And last night, I was here. All night. She pointed to her pies as proof. Nothing to talk about. Allie looked disappointed.
So the bloodshot eyes and dreamy expression aren't from a night being charmed to heaven and back?
No, Kennedy said, taking a big bite of pie. The only thing getting heated in my life is pies.
As it should be, she reminded herself.
The shutters swung back, and Paula's round face appeared in the opening. We need a few more humdingers. She gave a panicked glance over her shoulder. Make that all of the humdingers. Appetite gone, Kennedy put her cobbler aside and rushed to see what was going on. One look, and panic didn't even begin to convey what she felt. In the past 2 minutes, the cluster had become a never-ending line. No, not a line. More like a mob of customers waving 20% coupons in the air. Some of them were double-fisting the discounts, which, if applied solely to the humdingers, would create a problem of gigantic proportions. "Where did they all come from?" Kennedy asked, understanding how Walmart employees felt on Black Friday. "I didn't print that many coupons. I saw Margaret Collins using the copy machine at the senior center this morning. I didn't think much of it," Paula said, her brow covered in a thin sheen of sweat. "I should have made the connection. Today is coupon bingo, and Margaret's been telling folks since Sunday that she was tired of losing to Louise Ferndale, said it was time to put up or shut up." Paula lowered her voice. "And by the looks of things, bingo just let out." "And she went big with my coupons?" "It's her way of showing you support, dear," Paula said, "helping you succeed." Kennedy looked back at the crowd, which had multiplied in the past 10 seconds, and wondered if it was too late to close up shop. She could already tell by a quick glance that she didn't make enough pies, not for this kind of crowd. "How many of those people do you think are open to trying something new?" "I think a lot of folks will be open to tasting some new items," Paula said, doing her best to look encouraging, then disappeared with the pies back behind the counter to help with crowd control. "I agree. Folks will try it. After all, it's the neighborly thing to do. And I know they'll like it. But what if they like apples more?" "I should call Dudley just in case," Kennedy said, hating that it sounded as if she lacked faith in her pies. "Have him bring out the riot squad." "Destiny Bay doesn't have a riot squad. They have a sheriff, 3 deputies, and a canine unit, which is just what Dudley calls his basset hound so he can bring him to work," Allie said, coming up beside her. "Plus, he's 3 people back on the right in the orange jacket and camo hat, holding," she squinted against the sun beaming through the large front windows, "6 coupons. Allie grabbed one of the last few trays of deep dish and slid it through the window. "Please tell me you limited it to 1 humdinger per customer."
"No limits." Kennedy closed her eyes. She was doomed.
"You're not doomed. You have me," Allie said, shoving another bite in her mouth, then hopping off the counter to grab an apron. And wasn't that the sweetest thing someone could say to her right then? Kennedy felt as if she were facing a firing squad, and a woman she'd met only a few days ago had her back.
"Thanks. I'm not used to someone on my side."
"Well, get used to it,"
Allie said with a bright smile.
"Now, go make me some more pies to throw in that oven."
"I can't make more apple pies, not with those coupons floating around," Kennedy explained, a sense of desperation and deep disappointment filling her chest.
"If I were to fulfill every coupon with a humdinger, which takes 5 pounds of apples to make, 2 pounds being heirlooms, I would be in the red by the end of the day.
Out of business by the end of the month."
"How much would you need to sell them for to be in the black? And actually make a profit that I could live off?"
Kennedy asked, prepping the mixer for a new batch of dough, hating that Luke's offer was seeming like a sound plan. $20 a piece.
And that is with a slim margin.
Allie sat down next to her, silent, as though pondering over a solution. Her expression completely serious, she asked,
"How bad do you want to make a go at this?"
"Not bad enough to sell my apples to Luke.
Not yet, at least. I only know of 1 person in town who would spend $20 on a pie that Paula sells for 12.
Unless he's ordering 50 a day, it won't help.
Last offer, he was willing to pay 25 per pie, 100 pies daily,"
Allie said, and Kennedy shook her head, certain she misheard her friend over the growing chaos outside.
100 pies?
"A day."
A small flame of excitement lit in Kennedy's belly. By the time she did the quick math, figured out the profits on 100 pies a day, the excitement had warmed into hope. Do you think he'd meet with me?
Are you kidding?
One call and you'd have him at your door. Allie leaned across the counter and took a bite of Kennedy's forgotten cobbler.
My Uncle Cosmo owns a number of high-end markets around Seattle, Redmond, and Portland that cater to the technology transplants. They're super posh, super expensive, and he is super serious about selling sweetie pies in his stores.
Why would you do that? Kennedy asked. We barely know each other.
Owning your own business is hard, so us ladies need to stick together. Plus, everyone could use a good friend in their lives.
I know I could, Allie said quietly, as if embarrassed by the admission. There was a loneliness and deep longing in Allie's eyes that Kennedy could relate to, and she began to wonder if she wasn't the only one desperate for connection. Kennedy looked at the crowd again, then back to her friend, and felt her stomach warm. I'm surprised he doesn't already have a deal.
Can't even get a sit-down to discuss it. Even asked me a few years ago to help him out, Allie said around pie crumbs. Seems him and Fee had a fling back when Christ walked the earth. Didn't end well. She charged at him with her dad's Studebaker. He luckily dodged it in time. And now every time he approaches her about her pies, she threatens to run him down and finish what she started. At this point, he's hoping she'll forget about it, because her mind will go long before that woman lets a grudge lie.
And just like that, all the hope disappeared as Kennedy played through each and every possible outcome, none of them good. So if I sign with Cosmo, I'm positioning myself against the great Oz of Destiny Bay. Frustration had her releasing a long, tired breath. It also had that little knot that had formed behind her right eye, spreading to encompass her entire head.
And if you don't?
Allie asked. I go out of business, Kennedy said,
never one to shy away from the truth.
After a lifetime of emotional sucker punches, she'd rather see what was coming, no matter how difficult or painful the truth was. This time, she wasn't looking to duck or even get out of the way. Nope. Kennedy had sunk her entire life savings, Philip's buyout of their condo, and every last bit of hope she had into making this shop, and her life, a success. If trouble was coming, then she needed time to square up and take her own swing, because she wasn't going to go down quietly this time. Make the call. Can I at least go home and shower? Kennedy asked, taking in her reflection in the windows of the penalty box. She looked like Betty Crocker after a cupcake apocalypse.
Allie snorted. We both know you weren't going to go home. You were going to hide out in your shop all night to avoid running into your bed buddy.
He isn't my bed buddy. She stopped right outside the bar. And I'm not avoiding him. In fact, before you kidnapped me, I was going to head home. Allie said, calling Kennedy on that lie. Not that it was a lie, really. She was going to head back to the cottage. Sometime tonight, after she was certain Luke was asleep, and there was no chance for one of his run-ins. Then she would shower with the door locked, sleep on the couch, and be gone before he awoke. Keeping her focus was essential, and that meant keeping her distance. When she was around Luke, all logic went out the window. She made impulsive decisions, stupid impulsive decisions, like almost kissing him while wearing nothing but his old t-shirt. Just thinking about it had her lips tingling. Kennedy fluffed her hair. When that didn't help, she smoothed it back into a bun. You could have at least told me I had dough in my hair.
If you got it out of your hair, people would just look at the pie filling on your right boob,
Allie said with a teasing grin, dragging Kennedy through the door and straight for the bar, weaving in and out of the crush of people. For a Tuesday night, the place was impossibly crowded. Allie signaled the bartender, who was at the other end, engrossed in a conversation with a couple of patrons. Very female and very giggly patrons.
Two glasses of champagne?
He didn't even move a muscle.
Champagne? Not that Kennedy didn't like a glass of bubbly every now and again, but Allie looked more like a scotch drinker. Straight up and straight from the bottle. Not to mention, champagne, combined with her new friend's unusually bubbly demeanor, had Kennedy feeling a little unsettled.
Yup. Allie clapped her hands and smiled. We're celebrating. Cosmo called me back.
Kennedy stopped breathing. And?
He wants to meet.
Kennedy was overcome with emotion. Not only had Allie already called on her behalf, which was humbling in itself because their friendship was still so new, but Cosmo wanted to meet Kennedy, to discuss buying her pies in bulk at $25 apiece. Never in her life had a Hail Mary worked out. He's interested in carrying my pies? Are you kidding? He was so excited when I called, he nearly wet himself, Allie said, her excitement as real as Kennedy's. He would have asked to meet for a tasting tonight, but he's working at the Portland location this week, so he said Sunday was the soonest he could get back.
Tasting? Kennedy asked, trying to stay calm. But he already loves the pies. Why would he need a tasting?
Because he wants to partner with you. So, of course he'd want a tasting. Him sitting in the shop and eating a Sweetie Pie's pie will seal this deal.
Why do you look like I just said I hate dessert? Allie asked, as if Kennedy were slow. She wanted to point out that Luke was the slow one. For a guy who claimed to corner the market on knowing every woman's needs, he sure was taking his sweet-ass time delivering on hers.
She barely had enough apples to get through the week, and if Luke didn't drop off her next order by Sunday, she'd be cleared out before Cosmo even showed. No apples meant no tasting and no future orders.
Hey!
Allie smacked her fist on the cedar top.
Barmaid!
Hawk didn't move, except to turn his head and lift a brow in Allie's direction. His expression was one of pure irritation, with enough challenge to intimidate even the toughest of men. Not to mention the scars on his hands said he knew how to use them and wasn't afraid to get rough if necessary.
You going to get me my drinks? Allie asked. Or is this confirmation that, with you, everything is a serve-yourself kind of experience?
Hawk straightened to his full height, Thor minus the hammer, and Kennedy was sure he was going to throw them out of the bar with his own hand, but instead, he threw a rag over his shoulder and headed their way.
Sorry, sunshine. Tap only here, he said, resting his palms on the bar top.
You say that like it somehow makes cider manly, Allie said.
It doesn't, tap or not. It's still the sorority girl drink of choice, Bradley.
Allie looked at the giggling co-eds who were sipping from green-tinted martini glasses.
Well, next to apple-tinis.
Hawk crossed his arms, which had an array of tattoos bulging and rippling under the simple movement.
They aren't co-eds, and trust me, they aren't here for the apple-tinis.
He was bigger than Kennedy remembered. Better looking, too. With the body of a pro athlete, the smile of a bad boy, and a swagger that made women want to do crazy things. Looking at the way Fangirl 1 and Fangirl 2 were sizing him up, crazy bed things. Kennedy wanted to do crazy bed things, only the bad boy thing wasn't doing it for her. Nope. Sadly, it was the town's most eligible bachelor who came to mind.
Good. Then you won't mind parting with the bottle you keep stashed behind the bar. The one you use when your cider isn't enough game.
Allie leaned over the bar, her head dipping below the lip. She reappeared moments later with a bottle of bubbly and two-stemmed glasses. Allie grinned. Hawk scowled, and Kennedy moved over a chair. The tension between the two was so strong, Kennedy could almost feel it. She wasn't sure if the tension was simple animosity or something more interesting.
Didn't know you were paying that much attention to my game, sunshine, Hawk said,
his frown fading into a look of sheer amusement,
confidence rolling off him like a man whose likeness had been plastered all over Times Square in nothing but his hockey stick and Calvin Klein's, which he had.
Does that mean you want to play?
Allie set the glasses on the bar.
My mom warned me about men who carry their stick around in their hand all day. Your mom loves me, Hawk pointed out.
She's also been married 6 times, so I wouldn't put much weight in that. Hawk went to say something else, but instead plucked the bottle out of Allie's hand and filled both glasses, even dropping a raspberry in each before sliding them over. That was it. Allie had just told the most intimidating man Kennedy had ever seen what she wanted, then demanded that he deliver. To Kennedy's surprise, he did, with a smile on his face. If she'd known it was that easy, Kennedy might not be closing in on 30 and starting over for the umpteenth time in Nowhere, USA. Not that Nowhere, USA was a bad place to start over. In fact, Kennedy was beginning to believe that maybe there was something to the town's name. Destiny Bay might be a bit whimsical for her logical brain, but the 13-year-old who dreamed of big adventures and life's icing wanted to believe. Believe that there was more out there for her than being a rotating doormat. But Kennedy wasn't that girl anymore. She was competent, a determined business owner who was the master of her own destiny. First step was getting her apples delivered. Second step, getting her house back. Channeling her inner nutbuster, she pulled out her cell phone and dashed off a quick text to Luke. I want my apples. Happy to be taking action, being proactive about her future and making her own destiny, she slid her phone back in her purse and reached for the champagne flute. But before she could take her first celebratory sip, someone scooted in beside her. Kennedy didn't have to look to see who it was. The scent of fresh apples and wicked promises had her lips tingling.
I want your apples too, Luke said.
Kennedy turned, her expression cool and casual, showing not a glimmer of the heat simmering in her belly. She even ignored the melted chocolate eyes and heart-stopping smile, both of which advertised he wasn't talking about the fruit hanging on the trees.
You got a little something. Right there.
He pointed to the glob on her top.
Apple?
Pear, she said defiantly, resisting the urge to brush at the pie filling. And it was that, right there, the easy humor that lit his eyes, the way he looked so damn comfortable in his body, in his world. It put Kennedy at ease as much as it put her on edge. Then there was how close he was standing to her, their bodies brushing every time he so much as blinked, slowing her mind down to a steady sway as her heart raced at the possibilities, and her mouth tingled, ached with the memory that the last time she'd been this close, she'd nearly kissed him. What are you doing here? She asked, kicking herself, because if she knew that he'd been here, then she could have been at home, showered, clean, and fast asleep, in the bed.
I own the place. Half the place, Hawk pointed out.
Luke ignored his friend, his eyes trained solely on Kennedy, making her want to smooth down her hair.
Why? Did you come looking for me? Maybe you got lonely at home and need someone to scrub your back?
No, I need someone to deliver my apples. You didn't give me a time yesterday, so I waited until well after closing, but they never came, Kennedy said.
You're delivering her apples?
Hawk asked, as if this were an unreasonable request for the owner of the orchard to deliver produce to his customer.
I was going to discuss delivery options over breakfast, but then you'd have had to actually come home for that to happen.
Luke grabbed a frosty bottle from behind the bar and popped the top, then slid onto the stool next to her.
But we can talk now.
Great, Kennedy said, trying not to watch his throat work as he took a long pull from the bottle. Tried even harder not to notice that he hadn't shaved that morning, which left him looking a little rugged,
a little bit dirty, and holy cow, every time he smiled, it sent a whole lot of tingles to parts that had no business tingling.
When can you deliver them?
I can get them to you tomorrow. Tomorrow we've got to harvest the East Sector,
Hawk interrupted.
But it will cost you.
Luke finished. Kennedy rolled her eyes. Ugh, are we back to the kiss?
You kissed her?
Hawk said rather loudly. Eyes on hers, Luke reached across the bar and palmed Hawk's face, squeezing a second before delivering a quick shove. Not that it muffled Hawk's growing concern that this was the worst news he'd heard all year, maybe ever. Kennedy felt herself flush. Not from chemistry, but from embarrassment.
I didn't kiss him,
she said equally loud in case anyone was listening, which she feared everyone was.
But you wanted to.
Before Kennedy could argue the point, set the record straight, which would have meant lying, Luke added,
And I meant that the delivery will really cost you. Your deal was for the apples. Nowhere in the contract did it say delivery or the cost of harvesting was included.
An issue Kennedy hadn't run across until now, because there'd been enough apples left over in the shop's refrigerator from Fee's last delivery. Who delivered them before? Kennedy asked, her heart pounding so hard she could barely hear herself speak. Luke set his bottle down.
Me.
Then you can see how I would have every reason to believe, based on past performance, between our companies, that the apples would be delivered as promised. There. That sounded professional.
I can see how you might have come to that conclusion, he said. But that arrangement was between Callahan Orchards and the previous owners of Sweetie Pies, who happened to be my mom and aunt. None of our clients get their apples delivered for free, especially clients who are only paying wholesale. If we did that, we'd lose money.
He didn't say it like she was an idiot. In fact, there was a gentle hint of apology beneath his words that Kennedy wanted to believe was genuine, but she knew better. Knew that no matter how sorry he sounded, in the end, there would be one winner and one loser, and he was rooting for the home team. And that, more than anything, made her feel like an even bigger idiot. Of course Luke had harvested and delivered Paula's apples for free. Then again, she wasn't just a client. She was family. Kennedy was an outsider, whom he happened to share some chemistry with, standing in his way. The heat that flickered between them was as intoxicating as it was misleading, a fiery path that would surely lead to immense pleasure and complete disappointment. Because she wanted him, as much as she wanted her next breath, but she wanted to make this new chapter a successful one. And she was determined and a hard worker who didn't mind getting dirty.
Taking a bigger loss on the apples isn't a smart business move, he said, as if he were the Bill Gates of the apple industry. My crew doesn't work for free. Someone has to pay for the labor.
And Luke seemed to think that someone was her. Too bad for him. She had negotiated with Callahan Orchards. Maybe not with the big bad CEO of the family, but Paula was an equal owner. Had sold her shop and all the assets with it to Kennedy. In good faith. Even a first-year business major would know that.
I can help you out with some comparable apples, Luke offered.
Nothing compares to the apples I've got, she said,
and Luke maintained eye contact, but she got a little thrill when he cracked a smile.
I have to agree, sweetness, he finally said.
Hawk blew out a long breath, then eyed his partner, who finally eyed him back. Not a word was spoken between the two, but a fair amount of communication happened. A few grunts, a shrug, then a super-secret nod that had Allie snorting. Luke finally looked back at Kennedy.
I can give you a fair bid.
He said it in a way that made Kennedy think he was being genuine in his offer. But who wanted a fair deal when the original deal was for free? It was kind of like promising someone forever, only to cha-cha into the sunset when a slinkier option came along. Oh, I know you will. Because, like you said, any smart businessman would. And as soon as you get over this good guy act where you have convinced yourself that you are doing me a favor, you'll realize that while I may not have negotiated with you, I did negotiate with the other owners of Callahan Orchards. And I'm sure Paula will attest that, although not detailed in the contract, your company delivering my apples for free was implied. Hawk looked at Luke, who wasn't giving away much, but he didn't need to. Hawk's nonverbal communication skills had come to include, "Holy fuck." Add that to a little sputtering, and it was enough to know that while Luke may have had the advantage, Kennedy had just delivered the winning play. Kennedy downed her champagne and stood. "Thanks for the drink, Allie."
"That's what friends are for," Allie
said, standing too, as if in support. The gesture was so unexpected, Kennedy felt her heart smile, felt some of the growing stress release and give in to the feeling that right now, in this moment, she wasn't taking on the world alone. Kennedy hadn't just lost her house and her job in the breakup. Since most of her friends were also Philip's friends, she hadn't wanted them to choose, especially since she was pretty sure they'd choose Philip. She'd lost them as well. But Allie had a lifetime of history with these guys in this town. Yet when faced with a choice, she had chosen Kennedy.
"You were right," Kennedy said. "A drink was just what I needed. I feel much better now."
Confidence bubbling, she turned to leave and found Luke was standing in her way. Sure, to a random onlooker, it would appear as if Luke was living up to his gentleman persona.